Hey, Sister Amen.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
What?
Well, this is weird. We're doing our daily edification audio, and the sun is still up.
Oh, wow.
How did we get to this place?
I don't know.
What's wrong? Are we in some strange zone I don't know about? We traveled today.
Yeah, we're trying to do this one earlier today.
We normally, after doing a lot of ministry and travel and witnessing, we're doing our edification audio. Hello, all you saints, by the way.
Yeah, I hope you're all doing well.
We normally do it at about midnight. And today we said, well, we got a lot going on tonight with some brothers and other, a whole bunch of other stuff going on. So we said, let's try to get it done early.
Yeah, that's kind of nice because then maybe we'll get to sleep before 2 o'clock.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Maybe.
We love doing ministry, but it's good to do things when you're fresh. So hopefully we'll sound chipper and fresher than normal when we're doing this.
Sometimes we sound like we're not
quite as
chipper.
We are getting older, we're not getting younger.
Right. Yeah. But the Lord keeps giving us what we need to press
on. Amen. We made it to our destination, and it's where our preach is going to be this weekend. More on that to come.
Yeah.
And Sister Amen, did we have a good travel?
Oh, we did. It was beautiful, sunny, but whoo, that wind again.
We had, the last 4 days, we've had a wind from the left side blowing us, and so it wasn't as bad. Today we had a head-on, straight-on headwind. It was kind of like driving into a brick wall. But you know what? Praise God, our little gospel van just chugged along and pushed us right through. And we actually got great mileage, too, so I don't know what's going on. The Lord must have blessed us. I don't know. Praise God. I didn't see the mileage change at all.
Oh, that's nice.
And so, yeah, so that worked out great. We got where we needed to be. Sister Amen, what's on your heart and mind today as we do this edification audio with the sun shining?
Well, I'm really thankful for this day.
Amen.
And I'll just say this. When I knew we had to come here, I was really excited about being able to go to where there's a bigger population and be able to witness more.
About 250,000 here.
Yep, I like that. But then in my flesh, I had to beat my flesh down because it gets its own, it rears up and it's you don't like the big cities. It's all hot and
traffic,
it's like too many people and traffic. And
homeless people everywhere, which we get to minister to. But
yeah.
It's just a different atmosphere.
Yeah, and you know what it is? It's just a flash in the pan that the flesh does that, and I beat it down. And over the years, it's gotten down to pretty much nothing. But I just thought I would share that with you, sisters, because it doesn't matter how many years you've been in the faith or walking or maturity, you still have to kill
your
flesh in certain areas.
Yeah, let's quantify what we're saying. Hey, in your flesh, what choice would you rather have? Go sit by a peaceful campground and sit by a quiet lake, or go to a big city and be stuck in traffic and see all the issues all around, and you go, oh, my flesh would rather take that. But when you say, we got ministry to do, there's people all around, you go, you know, you kick your flesh aside and go, let's do it. We got to get it done. So.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you said that. Yesterday, we rolled into the town that we were going to park for the night. And we found a nice park, someplace that we could park and work online, you know, and be able to sit outside the van. Because you can't really do that in parking lots.
Right.
So that's why we try to go to parks and then find a busy one. But while we were there, there was a big, beautiful lake and the breeze was blowing. Well, the wind was blowing really hard. And I was working online and I thought, you know what, it's so beautiful, I'd love to go for a walk if I get more of my stuff done. And you know what, it really didn't even bother me. My stuff took me long enough to where we had to go and I didn't get a chance to go for a walk, and I didn't really care.
Nope, it was time to go and we didn't care.
Yeah.
So you just kind of, you get used to this life in a nomad life, because we're usually in parking lots, we're usually in towns, and then we relish when we can go out somewhere where it's calm and quiet and kind of just relax, but then we get itchy and it's like, we got to get back out in the world.
Yeah, and even when we say relax, we're still working.
Right, yeah, we never sit around and do nothing. Lord, the Lord always has stuff for us to do, so we praise God for that.
So yeah, so I don't know, those were just some random thoughts. I have a, well, go ahead.
I was going to talk about, this subject came up, false brethren. We've talked about it before.
Oh,
Galatians 2:4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came into privy and spied out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of warn people. I guess the us brothers are going to talk about a little bit tonight. We're going to talk about unity and false brethren. Watch out. Satan sends his workers in, false brethren that come in and look like they want unity, looks like they want to serve Christ, and they come in and they end up being a cancer, a leaven in the body. And you can't always detect them. Paul couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
They got right in the body in some places, but their fruit eventually over time will root them out. So just be aware of leaven and don't easily let people into your fellowship if you have it, or into your life if you're on your own. Make sure they have a track record of reliable biblical doctrinal service. And so false brethren in these last days are going to become more and more of an issue as they come in to spy out who the true saints are, possibly for more persecution to come in the future.
Oh, yeah, and we've had both males and females doing it.
Oh, yeah, either one.
And they look pretty close, and they know how to say the right things, but they always cause confusion.
Amen, amen. So,
and so that's a key to look for.
Yep, so watch out for false brethren. You can read about that in Scripture. We'll be talking about that. We'll have a probably have a little bit of an audio on unity and keeping out false brethren in the Ecclesia gathering place tonight.
That'll be good.
Sister Amon, what's on your mind?
Well, I do have another topic, just a real quick thought here. As you were talking to a brother and he said, do you ever go into the great big cities? And we said, well, sometimes we go through, we're not opposed to it, but oftentimes we do like this size city, which is what, like quarter million?
Yeah, quarter million on down.
And a lot less, even to the little, to the 200 population.
Yeah, 500, you know? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is, and the small events, the big events.
Because they have festivals there and people come from all over.
Right, and he mentioned, he said, you know, most of the street preachers go in the big cities. Hardly anybody or virtually nobody is going through all the smaller ones like we are, canvassing the company or country.
Yeah.
Not to boast about us or whatever, but some people do wonder, you know, where are all, why aren't you going into the bigger cities? Well, they're not necessarily the best place for us as van dwellers because they don't always let people stay there because there's a lot of homeless and beggars and a lot of crime. And so a lot of the places don't really like that. But the outskirts of those bigger cities and the smaller ones, the people are all over.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to go where you feel called to go. And our ministry is kind of tooled as being van dwellers towards that medium to small city and then all of the rural areas and then going to events and then just going out in the street on corners. Because as Sister Robin said, we can't find places to park. Campgrounds close to big cities are phenomenally expensive.
Yeah.
And if we ever got the heart for big city, we would probably either sell our van or store our van. And we would probably go and try to lease a place outside somewhere and then commute in and witness while we're commuting and go and actually live and stay in a city. In fact, some brothers are actually talking about that.
Uh-huh.
Moving close to a big city of a million people, working there and staying a year and just blanketing the city with the gospel and then maybe moving somewhere else. So everybody's got different ministries and that's good. That's fine. Our ministry is traveling, going to events, and we're just not geared for the big cities. And we kind of gear for these medium cities and smaller, and we get in front of thousands of people a week, so it works good for us.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to encompass so many more people that way all over the country as opposed to like just one spot. So if somebody lived in a little small town, they would have to travel a lot to keep coming back if they're stationary.
Yep.
But us being travelers, we can encompass,
yeah.
Yeah. And, you know,
parking lots,
all over
corners,
the place
events,
living, so.
Churches, all kinds of places.
So that might answer some of the questions if some of you thought.
We've had people ask us before, how come you don't go to big cities? And we're like, well, it's not really our calling. We're not geared for it. Maybe someday we will.
Oh, yeah. Who
maybe
knows?
When I'm old and decrepit and in a wheelchair, maybe the city will work out good for me. I don't know.
Yeah,
big city.
We don't know. But for now, this is,
this for now,
seems
this
to
is
work
what we
really
do.
Good. And we're never short of people.
Yeah, amen. Always people around.
Right.
I think another topic the brothers and I might talk about is disciplined phone and internet use. And I don't know where this is going to go. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And it comes down in kind of two different topics. So ponder this for your own life. So if you use the internet and you have an iPhone, I'm talking an iPhone here, one connected to the internet. Both, how do you use it? Are you addicted to it? Meaning, do you look at it every 10 minutes? And why every 10 minutes? If it's for ministry, nothing wrong with that. But are you doing it just like, you know, Pavlov's dog? You know, the bell rings and you're looking for a treat. If you know that story from the science where they trained a dog, every time a buzzer rings, he's looking for a treat. Maybe every time you hear, you get an email, you're looking at your email. And then also, we're going to delve into a little bit about how we know, without going into a bunch of details here, that Big Brother, whatever you want to call them, Google, the oligarchs, basically the Antichrist system, they're watching, they're listening. And they're more and more intrusive in our lives. And we wonder how much should we allow them to be in our lives if we're using the internet, even if we use it for ministry. So it's something for you to ponder. You ever pondered that? They're listening on your phone. They probably can turn your video on. They know everywhere you go. Something to ponder. If you don't have a problem with that, I guess it doesn't matter. But if you go, that seems pretty intrusive. And could I do something about that? We're going to kind of ponder that, talk about it. Don't know if we're going to do anything different, but it's just a good topic to talk about. Any thoughts on that, Sister Amon?
Right. It definitely is something to think about.
Yeah. It's a think about, I think about come out of the world, touch not the unclean thing, or come out from among her, come out of Babylon. I think about don't conform to the world. So we use our internet and we use our phones for God's glory, ministry, staying in touch with saints. But maybe sometimes people are using it beyond that or for reasons that they don't need to. And I don't mean sin. I just mean idle things that they don't need to. So we're going to talk about that.
Right.
We'll see where that conversation goes.
Yeah, we don't want to be idle.
Yeah, amen. Sister Amma, did we have two kind of interesting witnessing things today?
Yes.
Well, maybe you had three. You just did one at Walmart.
Oh, yeah, I did. I talked to, it was really brief because she didn't seem really interested and I wasn't going to keep talking if maybe it was just bouncing off. It was a Life Changers, a woman standing there for Life Changers, and I give her a gospel card and...
It's a ministry that helps people out of drugs and stuff.
Right, yeah, and even though they do some good things, they're not teaching a biblical gospel and they come from man-made religion. So I just kind of briefly did it and she was just kind of staring at me funny. So I just kind of shared a little bit and then I said, check out the website.
Yeah.
She didn't really say anything when I walked away, but
yep.
You know what was interesting about that? When I turned around and looked, she was reading the card.
Yep, I saw her. I saw
yeah.
Her. And then we went into another store, and we were looking around, walking around, maybe hoping to witness, and we didn't see anything we needed to buy, and saw a Hutterite family, Anabaptist Hutterite family.
Yeah.
Well, and they got in line right in front of us, so we walked over to get in line where they were. We didn't end up buying something because I wanted to witness to them, and I said, Sister, I'm going to go get that. So she went and got something for us, and... I got to witness to him, and I'll have to say, he was one of the nicer Hutterite men I ever met.
They're usually rude.
Yep, they're usually rude, turn away and give you a dirty look. He stood, he talked, he answered some questions. I have an audio of it, and I actually said, hey, have a good day, which I usually don't, because most of the time they end up wicked, and I won't wish, like, wicked men that don't seem to be seekers have a good day, have Godspeed or whatever. I don't do that. But this man, I think, would have listened longer if it went for his wife. His wife was giving me the stink eye, as
the
I say,
eye,
staring
yeah,
at me. And so she kind of stamped her foot and he kind of left with her. But so that was awesome. I got to preach the whole gospel to him, gave him our Anabaptist card. His two young little girls were sitting there listening and they kind of left and walked away. And then we had to do some van life business today at one of those DMV places where you get your driver's license and everything.
Yeah.
What happened there, Sister Amin?
Well, we got everything done after we stood in line for 45 minutes.
How many people are in line? 100, 150?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd say, yeah, definitely that many. It wrapped all the way down. And
yep.
We stood at the end and worked our way all the way up. And when we were done with all the business we had, I had a handful of gospel cards. And Brother Tupos had the gospel coming out of his mouth all the way down the line. All the way to the end, and then back up a little ways and out the door.
And what happened?
Well, everybody's kind of looking at us really weird, and Brother Tupos wasn't, like, lifting his voice.
Oh, just talking.
He was just speaking it out, just so you know. And I was offering gospel cards to people right behind him. Nobody wanted one. We turned around to come back up halfway because the door was halfway in between, you know,
yep.
Through the line there. And there was a woman looking at me. She's kind of looking, and I smiled at her, and she smiled, and she immediately reached out to grab one. Out of all those people, I thought that was pretty awesome.
That's awesome odds. Out of 150 people, one person wanted the gospel.
I know. Usually 10,000 maybe one.
Yes, I was going to say, that would be those kind of odds. If you had 1,500 people there, 10 people would want one. That would be incredible odds.
Yeah. Oh. All right, I said 10,001. Maybe mine was off.
Yeah, yeah, but whatever. It was awesome.
Whatever, yeah.
And you know what? I want to give God glory. They had 11 or 12 windows. And if we would have got called to number 12 window, we would have been all the way back through the halfway of the line.
Yeah.
We would have had to walk all the way up the line, turn around, come down. And I was like, I hope we're up in the right area up here. And what window did we get, Sister Amin?
The one on the end, yeah.
We got number one. They called number one windows open. We stood right there, did our business, and then we walked down the line. I preached the gospel. We got an audio of that. Sister's going to put it up at the top. And I think we'll put the Hutterite witnessing up, too. She's going to put two links up at the top of the edification page today. So
yep, I'll get those up.
That was awesome that we got to
share
the gospel.
Everybody
there.
Everybody was like a little bit, they're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, that was
but
awesome.
They know.
Yeah, oh yeah, praise God. Yeah, they were giving us kind of dirty looks, and some people were looking at us smiling. And a couple men were looking at me, and if I could read their minds, I can't. But if I could read their minds, I think they were thinking, I wish I could do that. I didn't, but good for you.
Yeah. There was two of
yep,
them.
Yep, there
saw.
Was two of them.
Two older men.
Yep, they were just kind of smiling like, yeah, that's the right thing to do. I wish I would do that.
Yeah.
And I did blurt out a couple times, check out don'tperish.com, find eternal life in Christ. So even if they didn't get a gospel card, they know where to go look.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, this is funny because anytime we ever preach the gospel like that, we have our signs. I was almost going to say, well, they could see our signs, but we didn't have them.
Yeah, yeah,
that
exactly.
That feels weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was awesome. Praise
Sister God. Amon, guess what?
What?
I think we have a question for each other about marriage coming up, don't we?
We do?
I got another question. It's a surprise one for you.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to surprise
Wait,
you.
So I'm
we agreed to a one question apiece about marriage, but I'm going to surprise Sister Amon with this question ahead of the two questions because I think it's good to keep her on her feet as a street preacher's wife. Ready?
Did we talk about pressure last night?
Yeah, we did. Talk
we
about
did.
Pressure.
Let's
ready?
Go. I'm ready because you'll help me if I can't get it.
Sister Amon,
uh-huh.
Do we know a mini evangelist?
Yes, we do. Praise God, a mini evangelist.
A mini evangelist. This is hilarious.
Oh, He's got a wit.
We have a young brother who's got quite a wit. He went to college for like graphic design, and he's not using that for a living, but it's still in him as far as he's got a really good eye and thoughts for details and thoughts for coming up with stuff. And he lives in a minivan, and he preaches the gospel, and he labors, and he actually labors in two jobs, and he's making his way through life, learning how to be a street preacher. And he posted on his website something called he's a mini evangelist because he lives in a minivan, and we laughed when we heard that. So he lives in a minivan, and I'll take some of that, Sister Amon. He's a mini evangelist, and he holds gospel signs, hands out gospel cards, goes out street preaching with us. He's a young man. He's like 25, single, and so I just had to share that. My heart is overjoyed for this young man because he's a godly young man, left everything, dropped his nets to follow Christ. And he is today a mini evangelist. So I love that.
Oh, I know. That's awesome. Yeah. There's so few.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm over here getting some more ice water. That's why I might sound
that ice water is going to taste good.
There's so few people out there. And then to have somebody who's willing to strip it all down and live a harder life in the man life and be so young in the Lord. Yeah. It's awesome.
Amen. We're excited. If the Lord wills, he's going to be traveling south with us to Missouri. And he's going to go meet up with another brother. And he may hang out there with him for a while, and they're going to get to know each other and do ministry. So it's awesome. We're excited for him and that other brother in Missouri. So we're excited.
Right.
We're excited about that. Well, Sister Amon, I think it's question time, like we talked about. What do you say?
Is it as easy as that other question?
I get to go first, though. You're going to ask me first. I'll give you a chance to get warmed up, and then I'll go first if you like. So Sister Amon and I agreed to ask each other a question about marriage. We're kind of doing a little, kind of a mini series on marriage. So.
Uh huh. Okay, so, say you have a new husband, doesn't matter how old he is, and he asks you, what are some examples of what it means to love your wife like Christ loved the church?
Love your wife like Christ loved the church. Well, that's a good question. Let's see, that's a whole Bible study, but for here, I'm going to keep it real short. First of all, we know that Christ came and died for the ecclesia of the body. So a husband must be willing to lay down his life for his wife. If their apartment building was on fire, he's got to be willing to go back in and search for her and find her and lower out the window even if it risks his life. Or he should stand in the place of a bullet or a grizzly bear for her. So isn't that what Christ did for us?
Right.
So he died for us physically. But beyond that, if Christ is our example, let's look at what Christ did. Christ came and he truly loved the body by showing us how to seek after the kingdom of God by example. So the man should example it. Christ lived holy and obedient to the Father, so the man should example that. Christ also used loving discipline and instruction and rebuke when he needed it. So a man should do that with his family and his wife and even his brethren. So he should do that. So I think the answer is not only, I think most people think of physically dying, but he should love her, cherish her. Jesus was faithful. He should be faithful to his wife. He should honor her. Christ honored the body. He should honor his wife. He should forsake everyone else and cling to her, not cling to his mom, his dad, his cousins, all this stuff. You see that a lot. Families tend to rip marriages apart. And the Bible says they leave and cleave to each other. Jesus was cleaving to, and the people, the disciples were cleaving to him. So I think an answer to that without doing a whole Bible study is anything you saw Jesus doing. Ready? Jesus washed feet. And that meant we don't wash feet today because our feet aren't dirty. That means doing things for your wife, your partner, that need to be done, not just thinking of yourself, and being a servant, being a minister, losing your life for them, showing, being the example of love, being a godly man, being a faithful man, being a protector, being a provider, honoring her, forsaking everyone else for her. That was the answer, I would say.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. So it goes way beyond just physical life. Giving up your physical life. In fact, I know a lot of men would say, yeah, I'll die for my wife, but they treat her really bad. That just is hypocritical.
They don't kill their flesh.
Right.
Instead of getting angry at her, they ought to protect her from their anger.
That's a good point. He also would, put down his flesh. Instead of going fishing 8 hours a day like he used to when he was a single man, or maybe before he was a Christian, now he spends time with his wife in the Word, doing good, pure, and true things, taking her out, doing ministry together, and they become one.
Yeah.
One is more than sexual intercourse. One is your lives knit together with your money, with your focus, with your efforts, with your desires, with everything that God gives you. You knit your life together and you become a unit for the Lord.
Right. That's a good answer.
Make sense?
Yeah. Good job. I like that.
All right. All right. Awesome. Someday maybe I'll do a study in that. We'll throw a whole bunch of scripture at it.
Yeah. We might do some like marriage topic.
Obviously, the one everybody would talk about would be in Ephesians 5, where the husband should love his wife like Christ loved the body, the ecclesia. So anybody listening, we don't really like the word church. That kind of means like a church building. We like to use the word ecclesia, and that means called out ones. That's who Christ's body is. We are the called out ones to him, out of the world and out of every false way.
Right. I said church because that's what the scriptures say, but I know that.
Yep. I was just saying it because we get new listeners all the time.
Yep. I didn't catch myself.
No problem.
There, so
I do that too. I'll catch myself using the word church, and I have to go back and go, well, what I really meant, because it's so ingrained in us for decades.
Yeah.
And it was years and years ago we decided we're going to kind of change that word, and so we slip into it sometimes. But the ecclesia, the called out ones of Christ.
That always turns into really good witnessing on the street too, when you say church and then say, because sometimes I'll say the word church and say the church would be like what you see today, but what it really means is the ecclesia called out. And it kind of, people see that. It's awesome.
So, right. That's a great point. People say, what church are you with? And we go, we're not. We're part of the ecclesia, the called out ones. And they go, what?
The one body.
And then we say, we're called out of the world. We're called out of the false church. And they go, well, that's never happened to me. And it kind of gives them something to kind of go seek after.
Right.
All right. Enough stalling, Sister Amen.
Stalling?
That's your turn. I didn't forget.
Oh.
I got my marriage question for Sister Amen.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready.
What do you like most about being married? Not about me. What do you like most about being married?
Marriage itself.
Yep.
Yeah. So the first thing that comes to my mind is the scripture verse about two are better than one.
Oh,
and a threefold cord is never broken.
Yep. That's awesome.
I think that's in Ecclesiastes.
So there's strength in more than one, as you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not walking alone. We know in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul said it's better not to be married, but yet it's good to be married.
Yep.
So it's either or, whatever somebody chooses.
Yep.
But to be married, it does have a lot of its benefits. I would say one of the biggest ones, obviously for believers, or anybody has the opportunity if they repent, is to serve God together.
Right.
And so that's like husband, wife, leader, helper, partners, serving the Lord together in all sorts of ways, like ministry, maybe helping other people, ministering to the brethren, and things like that. So I think that's wonderful.
Yep.
You can add anything.
No, I was just going to say, by having you in my ministry, it actually expands my ministry, because I get to witness to and minister to women with you with me. If I didn't have you with me, I would be very careful how much I minister to women. So it actually opens up the whole other half of the public to me, whereas young brothers, I say, be careful how much time you spend ministering to women, because you don't have wives. So you open up a whole other world of ministry for me.
Oh, right. And me for when men come up to talk to me and stuff, and I get to witness to a certain point, and then I send them to you, or you come over by me or whatever.
So it has a lot of benefits for ministry.
It does. That's awesome. And then we get to test one another in the Word, so we're kind of like sharpening each other. If you want to put it that way. I'm not teaching Brother Tupos.
Yeah.
But we do talk
as husband and wife. Oh, yeah. I listen, when I have a decision to make, I listen to Sister Amen's counsel,
and what she feels, thinks, believes in the scripture, I have to make the decision. I'm responsible for it. But I take her counsel because she's always had good wisdom and good discernment, and we learned our discernment together. So I take her counsel. I would be foolish not to. And so that always is considered. Because I also believe this. If God told me to go to Alaska and be a minister, I believe that God's also going to put it on my wife's heart and mind to say, I'm ready to go. I see it too. Let's go. If it's a situation where my wife goes, I don't know about this. If she's a godly woman in every way and she goes, I don't know. I just don't. There's something. I don't have a feeling about it. It doesn't mean he shouldn't go, but I really believe a lot of times God gives a confirmation to two people that are united.
Oh, right, because he can bring something through either or of you, but back and forth.
Amen.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a good point too. Companionship is nice.
It is.
You know, like,
and that can be fleshly and it can be spiritual.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to go there. That's
okay.
Good. Yeah. No, I was just going to say that, but yeah, that was a good one that you saw that too. So.
Yep.
Yeah, that's always nice because you're not alone.
Right.
You know, and it goes both ways. When you got a companion, you don't have as much alone time or thoughtful time. But
right.
That's good because you're hopefully busy doing a whole lot more other things.
Yep. Yeah, and you get to share with each other.
Yeah, right. And it is nice that to have, in this wicked, dark world, to have somebody that you could have a friendship with.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which is a little bit different than just, you know, a husband, wife, brother, sister. It's nice to actually maybe have, like, a friendship. I guess I don't know how to describe that so much more, but it's kind of part of it, you know?
You know what I would say to that? Ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw in a thing. If you ask me this question, all the things you're saying I'd agree with, and here's one I would say. I'd say what I love about being married is I get to have a best friend, a wife, and a sister, and it's in one person.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, you said it good.
I like that because I get to have all three in one person.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love
that.
Yep.
And this is just kind of a little bit of fleshly, maybe, but not in a bad way. We get to share.
God created flesh, procreation. He created all kinds of things.
Yeah, I was thinking we get to share experiences together.
We do.
You know, and so we go through issues, whether they're good or bad.
Right.
Not just all the good stuff.
Yeah, we'll never forget the stalker sitting out our door.
Oh, I know. And so, like, me experiencing things like that with some creepy guy following us around and sitting right outside our door and looking in our windows.
Or seeing a beautiful sunset at the end of a long day.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, like, on the bad side, maybe one person might get in the flesh a little bit.
Right.
And the other person's calm. You can kind of level each other out.
Or
if one person, you know, on the good side, you see something and one's not quite seeing the depth of it or maybe tired or something or distracted a little bit, the other one's excitement kind of helps bring it in or something.
Yeah.
So that's kind of both of those.
Yep, that is true, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm going to kind of go in another one where it's a few of these, I think, that are benefits, but in a way that most people might not think of it. Like, you're going to learn patience.
Yep. That's true.
Because not everybody's perfect and nobody's...
I'm not perfect? What?
Nobody's.
Wait a minute.
Like,
that's right. The Bible says perfect means complete and mature. I'm still on the way to that. I'm still working on it.
Right. We both are.
Yeah.
So while we do that, and we all have flesh, we have to learn patience in it and long-suffering, of course. You know, these are like the fruits of the Spirit.
Fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5.
Yeah. We get to hone those in a little bit and get to use them. And learning how to be gentle, you know, because you might be... Because if you're like us in the van life together all the time, we're like face to face all the time, which is a really good thing because you really got to kill your flesh. Otherwise,
we're not careful. We'll like bump heads all the time. Literally, bang, hit each other's heads.
Yeah, so what I mean is, you got to learn how to be gentle and watch your words, how you say things.
Preferring one another.
Your tone, all kinds of things like that. And putting other people first.
Yeah, we talked about this one time. In van life, if a husband and wife get mad at each other, there ain't no living room to go sit in. We're in the same room.
No, you can actually, like, maybe sit up in the driver's or passenger seat, and the other one sits on the bed.
Fortunately, that doesn't happen.
Work very good.
Fortunately, the Lord's bound us together. That doesn't happen. But it wouldn't work good if you didn't get along good.
Mm-mm.
It would be quite a nightmare.
Well, it certainly would make you figure a way to do it.
Probably.
If you're of the Lord, you better be killing your flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's why we see people hauling trailers around, but that's another topic.
Maybe.
That's sad, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways,
anything else?
Those are just kind of off the top of my head. Is there anything?
No, I love those. My top one would have been, like I said, having a wife, a best friend, and a sister, because everyone knows I call her Sister Amen. I try to refer to her as my sister because that's eternal. My wife is just temporary, but when we die, that's over with. And I would say having a partner in ministry is a huge benefit in the marriage life. And then, yeah, being able to, I always tell Sister Amen, if we both live to be old together, maybe one of us will die sooner, I don't know. But if we both live to be old together and maybe we're somewhere, I don't know, sitting there and maybe at the end of our lives and we can't move, I always tell her, I think if our memory still holds up and God gives us memory, we're going to be able to look and say, remember this, remember that.
There's so many.
And we're going to have so many memories. And I don't think we're going to have hardly any regrets when we've gone for the Lord. I think we're going to have just tons and tons of memories. Probably the only regret we're going to have is we wish we would have done it earlier.
Oh, I know.
Other than that.
Would you say this is right? When we say memories, my first thought goes to all our witnessing experiences.
Oh, yeah, memories are like...
All witnessing.
Yeah, okay, there is a few, like beautiful seeing the Teton Mountains up close and holding hands and walking and just sharing that. That's like a beautiful experience with the Lord. But those are really minuscule. She's right. Most of them are witnessing, meeting a brother. Okay, brothers that we know from out street preaching.
Yeah.
And we go, remember, we met them out street preaching. And
it's all about witnessing in the Lord.
It's all about ministry. When we say memories, it's mostly about ministry. Traveling for ministry and sharing that together and going out and the trials we've had, the victories we've had. Yeah, that'll all be great in our old age if the Lord gives it to us.
Right.
If not, we still have them. We talk about them all the time anyway.
Yeah, and I just want to say in here, I'm really glad that you didn't find something that I missed that would have made me feel bad.
Oh, no.
That I didn't
there could be a mongongous list.
Yeah, because sometimes I miss some of the obvious things, and then you mention it, and I'm like, oh, why didn't I see that? But I think I did pretty good then.
Yeah, you can't cover them all. A brother did a teaching on endurance the other day. He must have had 15 or 20 verses, and when he was done, we were pulling some more out of the Bible. It's like you could just be there forever. So marriage topic is like that. You could go on and on and on, and we'll maybe do some marriage audios together that go into more depth. But yeah, that just gives you an idea what to be thankful for in a marriage and also ponder it from the biblical perspective, because a marriage outside of Christ, I don't know, I think it's pretty hopeless. But anyway, two people trying to get along that close, it's pretty hopeless. I know what we were like before Christ, and it's very, very hard unless... So anyway, I'm glad we're in the
Lord.
Praise God. I'm glad we're in the
Lord. Praise God. I'm so thankful. What a blessing.
Anything else, Sister Amen? I got one... you probably got a scripture verse to share. I got three verses to share when we close out.
You want me to do mine?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to do Psalm 16, 9 through 11. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
I love that. That's one of those archetypes of Christ in the Psalms and in the Old Testament. It's all over the place.
Yeah, I love that part. You won't leave my soul in hell.
Yeah.
Hey, that reminds me of a witnessing thing we had today.
We didn't even talk about this one.
I just thought about that. Did you want to talk about it now or something?
We went to pick up, we had to go to a place where we had some things mailed, and there was an old couple, I mean old, they were like 80. I'm an old man, this guy had me beat by a lot. And they were like barely moving, but boy, they had some energy in them. And we gave him a gospel card. He was telling us about a new kind of atlas that's all poly-coded and it lasts forever. A road atlas, you know. They must be travelers.
Yeah.
And they're still going at 85, still traveling.
I hope they're not the ones driving the great
I don't know.
Bags.
But we gave him a gospel card and he goes, I want to talk to you. And so we did our business and he waited outside.
Yeah.
I think the woman weighed all of about 80 pounds soaking wet, and he was a little guy too. And he started telling me, I've got an audio of this, we'll put it up sometime. He started telling me, he said, people are worried about hell. He said, you don't got to be worried about hell. And I said, why, sir? He said, well, he said, what the Bible says. He said, you go to hell. And he said, it's over. There's nothing else. And I said, are you an annihilationist? And he goes, no, no, no. He didn't know what he's talking about. He goes, I just mean when you get judged and God separates you. I said, yeah, the sheep from the goats. He goes, yep. He goes, if you don't make it to the kingdom, and he said, he puts you outside. He goes, you're gone in a second and you don't know nothing. And I said, sir, that's not what the Bible teaches. I said,
no.
Jesus is a liar then. His parable about the man that said, I'm burning here. Just touch your finger and give me one tip on my tongue and go warn my brothers. And he tried to say, oh, that's a Jewish idiom and Jesus was a Jew. And that doesn't, I said, are you saying Jesus didn't tell the truth?
Wow.
And I said, oh no, it says it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth and it never quenches. And he just kind of, I said, oh no, sir, that's not true. And then I preached the gospel to him. I said, most important to avoid that. I said, here's the gospel. I preach it to him. And I said, here's my website. I have articles on all that. And he said, okay, okay. And they
turned around, they walked away. We don't meet many annihilationists. Annihilationism is when you believe you're just burnt up in hell and you don't know anything. You're like gone.
And so how would that cause any fear with anybody? Well, you know, if you could just live the, you could live your life any way you want because you're not going to feel anything.
There's no suffering. There's no punishment.
Yeah.
You're just like, you just go non-existent.
Wow.
So you're not an eternal being. You're either eternal with God or he just burns you up at the end. And the scriptures don't teach that at all. But I was happy we got to witness to him. He left fine. He's like, okay, thanks a lot. And they walked away. We told him we loved him. So
that was perfect timing.
that was perfect time. Uh-huh. We had a whole bunch of those today.
Yeah.
The Lord just opened the door all over the place.
Yeah, praise God.
Yeah. Let's see, my verse, right? Is this where we're going to finish off?
Uh-huh.
Ready? Revelation 9. Do you like Revelation?
Love Revelation.
Revelation 19, 1 through 3. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgment. For he hath judged the great whore. That's that religious system which we believe is linked somehow to the Roman Catholic Church today. I think she's going to be it. Which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Saints, think about this. We talk about the gospel a lot. We talk about the good news of Christ. We talk about the goodness of God. We talk about the hope and the promises. We cannot forget the wrath and the judgment of God that's coming on the backside of history. He came and lived everything out perfectly. He's not coming back as a baby in a manger, as us brothers preach in the street. He's coming back as the flaming lion of Judah. He's going to quench all evil. He's taking back the kingdoms for the Father and everything else, politics, sports, entertainment, media, government outside of God. Church systems are going to be destroyed, and he's going to rule with an iron rod. So just want to encourage you, get on the right side of the gospel. Check it out at don'tperish.com. You seekers need to repent and follow and obey Christ. You know, we talked to people the other day, and they said, well, I'm thinking about it. I'm considering it. Don't delay your repentance and following Christ. You don't know when your last day is. It's not worth risking your soul.
Choose this day whom you will serve.
Amen.
The
Moses
gods
said
of your
it.
Fathers,
Joshua said it. Yeah.
Lord,
so, just wanted to give you a word of warning. There is a fiery wrath coming because our God is justice, righteous, goodness, purity, truth, love. He's all those things. But the world is about to be purged, and that's why we're out preaching the gospel to warn people so our hands are clean.
Right. That makes me think of, I'm going to be looking up my scripture verse for tomorrow. Referencing what you were just going through, what we were just talking about.
Look
it up today, and it's going to be in reference to that and God and his power.
Amen. I think that's all we got for you. Anything else, Sister Armin?
No, I think that's pretty good. We got lots of things to do, and I'm going to get this up right away. So, yay, praise God. We got it up early for those of you who might peek in earlier.
That's awesome. The sun hasn't even gone down yet.
Yeah,
thanks for listening. We love you all. Check out don'tperish.com. Go to the edification tab where you found this. We'll have a bunch of videos, some witnessing audios, and we'll have some new Ecclesia gatherings. And if you don't catch this today, go in there. You can find it all. It's all archived in there, and we're spreading the truth all over the world.
Yeah, praise God.
Why are we doing that, Sister Armin?
To bring God glory. And to hopefully maybe edify and help saints to keep striving and maybe help some seekers to see some truth and to get them to repent and seek after this wonderful, holy, awesome Savior.
Amen. We love God. We love our neighbor. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Till next time, the Lord lets us come to you. We're going to be striving on. Are you ready, Sister Amin?
I am. I'm ready.
May God be praised.